University of Wisconsin Extension has its roots back to the time, I think, of the war between the states. Co-op Extension was created in 1914 through a partnership. It's a three-part partnership here, actually, between states, counties, and the federal government. And over the past, I think, 30 years or so, there's been some remarkable changes in cooperative extension, what it does in terms of issues important to you and I here in Wisconsin. We want to talk about some of those issues today with Rick Clemmie, Interim Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension with the University of Wisconsin Extension. I should say that I was a member of, been a member of Extension for many, many years myself, and Cooperative Extension in particular. So I've always had a kind of a fondness for Co-op Extension and what it's done. So I'll lay that out for you before we even get started. If you have a question or comment for us as we move along, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And Dean Rick Clemmie, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, Larry. How are you? And hi to your listeners out there. It's a good opportunity for me and to visit with them. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about earthworms. I guess we don't have a committee working on earthworms yet in Co-op Extension, but you never know.
Well, you know, some of the sustainable ag folks have worked on earthworms before as an important part of the culture within the soils and part of the organic community. So it's actually an issue that we have addressed. That's right, yeah.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, let me give the number to call if you want to join in. It's 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And we've got Robert in Indiana on the line here. Robert, hi.
Hi. I'm glad to be on the program for a second here.
Well, good. What can we do for you?
Well, Rick is our son. My wife is on the other phone, on the other side. How are you, Rick?
Very good. Thanks for calling, Dad.
Well, yeah, you know, of course, we are interested in extension very much all through our life. And Betty, do you have something to say?
No. No, thank you.
Well, thanks much. I know that Mom's been involved in homemakers clubs and being an advisory in Benton County, Indiana, to the extension program down there. And, you know, what they're doing here is talking about how the network exists across the country. Every state has a cooperative extension service. It's that partnership, Larry, you talked about, between the federal government, the state government, and county governments. And they tweak a little bit from state to state. The point that my mom and dad have been involved in is it's responding to local needs. So thanks, folks, for calling today.
You know, and the kind of the interesting, I'm glad they called because one of the neat things we mentioned, the county and the state and the federal, but cooperative extension has always, I thought, been great at involving its citizens in whatever state and whatever county it's been in.
Well, Larry, that's a really good point. You prefaced our conversation today by talking about how we've evolved over time, the issues we deal with. One thing that hasn't changed is our work with the local communities, with the people in the counties, and that's what we're all about. What we do now is different than what we did 30 years ago because the demand for our services are different than what they were 30 years ago. And there's all sorts of evolution examples we can talk about of how we've expanded our program areas to look at different issues. We still serve our historic clientele. There's always good conversations we have about the 4-H program, for example, which is our most popular program in terms of participation. And people are talking about, well, are we still as interested in 4-H clubs as we used to be? And, you know, our club population remains strong. We have a great number of adult volunteers. It's really a community-oriented program. But 4-H is also about youth development.
Yeah.
And so we work in county government. We work in developing skills. In fact, even in our club programs, the most popular program in terms of our participation among the youth is arts and communication.
Is that right?
Everybody wants to be like you, Larry.
Well, you know, when I was in 4-H, it was cows and cattle. I showed cattle at the fair. And
still strong and still involved at all county fairs. They were still involved in educational programming with the state fair. But the point is that it diversifies as our population changes over time. And as Wisconsin population, like all populations in the United States, becomes more urban, we're also reaching out to those youth as well. And that's where we can play into different kinds of activities. The goal is still the same. We're developing leadership skills. We're helping people's kids' self-confidence, their preparation for being part of our economy down the road. Yet we do it in different ways because you need to appeal to what those youth want to work on.
Yeah. Rick Clemmy, our guest today, Interim Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension with UW Extension. Give us a call. Maybe you have a question about cooperative extension and how it works, or maybe you've got a specific topic area that you wonder about in terms of what cooperative extension is doing to kind of work out the problems in a particular area. I know one thing that comes to mind is one of the public policy questions for me and for a lot of people is land use, and that's something I know that cooperative extension's been dealing with, and I'm certainly going to bring that up with him. But you may have some questions as well. We've got, I know, diversity in education programs. There's a Hmong task force. There's Latino resources. There's a lot there. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's talk about land use for a minute. I mean, that's certainly a hot-button topic in Wisconsin right now, how we use our land and resources. What are you doing in that area?
Well, you're exactly right, Larry. The land use question is one that is just full of politics, of strongly held beliefs and values, and it does require the real strong skill sets of our county agents, our faculty members in community natural resource and economic development, and frankly, our agriculture and natural resources agents get much involved in this as well, because inevitably it involves really important trade-offs between the use of land for farming purposes, for development purposes, for industrial purposes, and how does a community come together around those issues. Property rights are really a strong, real hot button in this issue. And what we've tried to do in our role as educators is to provide facilitating processes so local townships and townships within counties can work together mm-hmm. on developing land use plans. It's tough work, and our agents do a great job at it, but it's one that hopefully we can use a range of group processes to come to consensus decisions on this, and the success rates, frankly, are varied all over the county, all over the state, I should say, in terms of what we've been able to do, some very successful, some more difficult, and sometimes that's just a matter of the composition of the population of the county, and in some areas, some very strong property rights beliefs, and we work with those. You know, a land use plan that ends up being about individual property rights is a land use plan.
Yeah,
and that's an alternative to consider as along with other kinds of alternatives as well.
Scott and Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to put in a little piece of personal experience. I grew up in Massachusetts, and my parents, when they were forced into a change of career, bought an old apple farm, not knowing how to farm it and not even intending to farm it. But at some point it became necessary that they do so, and they learned to farm from cooperative extension.
Yeah.
My dad was an engineer. He had no background in farming whatsoever. And over the years, my mother, my father's now dead, my mother has said that with continual cutbacks in the agriculture side of programs for cooperative extension in Massachusetts, you couldn't do that anymore. And I just wanted to kind of throw it out there to let people know that there's great value in that side of things. And as we talk in Wisconsin about losing family farms, let's not lose sight of the fact that cooperative extension is a valuable resource for people in that sector.
Scott, I thank you very much. And Rick, comment from you.
Great point, Scott, and thanks much for calling. I think you raise an issue that in some states we've had significant reductions in the county-based side of extension, Massachusetts certainly being one of those. It's an urbanizing state. There's a lot of pressures for resources, and we face those same pressures in Wisconsin as well. We are blessed to have that strong support at the federal, state, and the county level for a county-based delivery system where we have agriculture agents in at least a presence in about 66 or 67 of the 72 counties in the state, and even in those five counties up north. We have horticultural interns and agents that are able to provide the kind of information that are needed by the residents of that county. Scott raises a very good point, and we do a lot of work. We get a lot of phone calls, which are kind of similar. Well, we bought this 40 acres, and we wonder what we can do with it. Those are tough ones to answer, but it speaks to the changing nature of the farm population in Wisconsin. If you want to call it it's either a bimodal distribution or a pretty continuous distribution of farms, everything from the large multi-hundred-thousand cow-plus dairy operations that have a very specific set of needs all the way down to those folks who have the 35, 40 acres and are interested in maybe participating in local food systems. And at the end of the day, managerial expertise, marketing expertise, being able to determine markets, whether they're commodities or locally marketed vegetables, is an educational opportunity that we can participate in the state of Wisconsin. I think one of the interesting things I talked to at least our staff about, it is a neat organization to be in a place where every person in the state could actually benefit from what we do. Really neat.
And we'll talk some more about that with our guest Rick Clemme here on the Ideas Network. Talking about issues facing our state and cooperative extension and what cooperative extension is doing and how it impacts you as we deal with some of these issues. Our guest today, Rick Clemme, is interim dean and director of cooperative extension for the University of Wisconsin Extension. Really pleased to have him along. And certainly if you have issues or questions about cooperative extension that you'd like to address, we'd be more than happy to hear them. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Anywhere else, it's toll-free, and that number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. And Peggy in Madison has been waiting through the newscast and has a question for you, Rick. So let's go to Peggy. Hi, Peg. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for a wonderful program. I appreciate it very much. I had the first quick one is what year this extension whole system began. But my real question is to address the farm bill. I understand there's lots of green system in it, sort of have a conservation aspect to it, and I'm interested how much impact the city people can have on organic farmers and saving small farms and preserving the land and farmers and having young farmers be able to get retired farmers who do not have children who care to do it, but make it easy for them to mentor on into these older farms and keep them all in farmland. So I'll just wait and listen to it.
All right. Thank you very much, Peggy.
Well, Peggy, I bring up a couple of three interesting points. Your timing is great because as we speak, the House Ag Committee in Washington is debating the Farm Bill. The Farm Bill has a number of titles to it. Some of those relate to commodity payments. Some relate to conservation. Some relate to energy. Some relate to research even. And all those are being under debate now. And in fact, one of the opportunities that the administration provided was a special a provision in the Farm Bill for authorizing increased research and education in the organics area. We'll see how that plays out. It's a very complicated process with a lot of special interest engaging with the House Ag Committee on that very topic. But you raised several points that are awful important to the many citizens of Wisconsin, and we're part of the Working Lands Initiative that the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection worked on. We partnered up with them by providing some agricultural economics expertise in that area to look at alternatives and to look at this issue of farmland, number of farms, ability to provide entry into those farms. We were doing some distance education for agricultural agents, helping people who are interested in starting farms, primarily focusing on grazing as an alternative right now because it's a low capital investment option compared to some others, but also looking at some of the issues around organic farms or locally based food system farms, whether they're community supported agriculture or other kinds of farms that market direct. So there's a whole range of activities that we're involved in, and that the Farm Bill is supportive in a couple different ways. One, as I mentioned, a special emphasis on organics for one, but just the general support for what we call formula funds for Hatch and Smith-Lever, which provide the dollars to our research station in the College of Ag and Life Sciences and to the Extension Service to help provide general funds for research and education on a variety of issues important to that state. And that's how we use them. Hatch and Smith Lever are important names for those funds because they coincide with the Hatch Act in 1862, which established a land-grant system, and the Smith Lever Act in 1914, which established the Cooperative Extension Service. Those funds have been around for a long time and are part of our partnership that we use at the county level to address those kinds of issues. So great question, Peggy. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Peggy. Appreciate it. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. How does cooperative extension, by the way, link to the university system in general?
Well, that's a great question, Larry, because we're part of the UW system. And maybe we should have started with that We can't show the organizational diagram over the radio, and even if we put it on TV, it's fairly complicated because UW system's complex.
Yeah.
With 13 four-year institutions, 13 two-year institutions, and UW Extension, our linkage with the UW system comes about in our arrangements that we have to co-fund faculty and academic staff on the four-year campuses. A lot of that's on the Madison campus, probably 85-90% of our investment on campuses is there. But increasingly, we've seen investments on other campuses, particularly River Falls, Platteville, and Stevens Point in the Ag and Natural Resource area, and some investments in the community development area at Whitewater, Green Bay, and Superior. So we co-invest in faculty and academic staff. And then the agents in the county, the county might have three or four or five what I would call ag agents agents in agriculture, 4-H, family living, and community development. But they also have a number of other agents on grants and other kinds of activities. That office in that county really is a portal to the entire UW system. Because as questions come in, what these agents are going to do is to network among themselves and with these specialists, as we call them, on these campuses to develop answers or programs that can deliver answers to those local questions. So the linkage is very important to us because we really have two niches in the world. One is that local presence, which I think is totally necessary for us to be effective in dealing with local needs. Seems obvious. But also we have this niche of having to draw on evidence-based research and science-based research from our campuses to bring science-based information to the issues in that county.
Yeah, it really is important. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about the partnerships with the counties, too.
Oh, yeah, that's an important one to us. Many years ago, about 20 years ago, we negotiated with the counties and have established a relationship where we have a partnership with the counties where we provide approximately 60% of the salaries and fringe benefits for our county agents. These are agents that have master's degrees that work in the counties and are part of the UW Extension system, but the counties pay for 40% of the salary and fringes. The counties also provide office space and clerical support as well. So more or less works out to a 50-50 arrangement. It's a very nice partnership for us that enables us to provide university resources at the local level, but we also think it's important for the county to have a buy-in into that model. And for us, what that means, of course, is that we're obviously going to be quite accountable to county needs, and which has gotten much stronger over the last 20, 30 years because everybody knows in the state that county budgets have been under a lot of pressure over the last several years. And that means for us that our partnership with the counties is extremely important. It's also important for us to demonstrate value to the counties. And we do that through economic development. We work in when you work in dairy modernization or where you help farms expand or where you help businesses get started, you actually are contributing to the economic development tax base of that county and making for a better quality of life. But all our other program areas do that too, whether it's in partnerships that we have with county agencies, which actually help leverage our funding and their funding into more effective programming. One of my favorite stories is talking about how our family living agents. Now, some of you may think of those as home ec agents from the past. Family living agents now, of course, they still work with homemakers, but our population's changed. And the issues facing families in rural Wisconsin have changed. And methamphetamine is a big problem in west central part of the state, as you all know. And our family living agents have developed programs where they work with local social service agencies and sheriff's departments to do education. This enables these three programs to do something they couldn't do on their own. And if you just think of what it means to have education programs that can reduce addiction or people who are involved in recovery programs, it can save an enormous amount of money for the county. We have agents who work with counties in terms of providing services and strategic planning for either county governments or agencies that make use of the county investment to develop what we hope is a more efficient county government out there, which we're a part. Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways that we work with that county. And frankly, I think having that 40% funding partnership really makes us accountable. And being able to pull that research in from the campuses makes it a complete package.
Yeah. And to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the area of economic development with the co-op extension.
Well, obviously, our community natural resource and economic development program area have a lot to do with that. Those agents out there often work with economic development agencies in the counties. Many counties have economic development actual programs to help encourage business and to deal with some of the issues that face them. But in my mind, economic development is a broad item that really depends on a lot of what we call capital. Mm-hmm. I mean, economic capital is important, and having either the venture capital or money available for investments important. But we think that businesses also thrive in counties where you develop an environment that's mm-hmm. receptive to people, not only to locate businesses there, but to be there as well. And we're talking such things as creative capital in terms of having in communities that encourage the arts and bringing people in who can bring different perspectives to the community. We think that looking at human capital in terms of having strong education systems, including sort of the lifelong learning of cooperative mm-hmm. extension is important. Environmental capital is important. People want to locate where there's ample resources and where people care about the environment in their community, and they want to live in those communities and work there as well. The idea behind all this is that people tend to locate partially because of business opportunities, but partially because of where they want to be, where they want to live, where they want to raise their family. So for us, economic development is a bigger package that we think that all four program areas in cooperative extension can contribute.
Well, let's take some more calls. Again, if you want to join us, the number 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Greg in Watertown, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thank you, Larry, and hi, Rick.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Quite well, thank you. I just wanted to speak a little bit about the university extension and how important they are to our specific county. I'm a county supervisor. I've sat on the university extension committee for 4 years, and we have had wonderful things come from the university extension. Our land use plan, which is considered one of the best in the state, could have never happened without the help of the university extension. In economics, we find similar things. The science and based research that Professor Deller has provided to our county has been invaluable. And one of the scary things about county government is it is one of the few departments that we have discretionary program. It's a discretionary program. So when we look to cut budgets or to stay within a budget, unfortunately, UW Extension is oftentimes near the top of the list, and we constantly have discussions and controversy as to whether or not it's a good place to spend money. For my money and for my constituents' money, I think it's a wonderful choice because it's a way to bring the auspices and the resources of the university to the average person in the county, and it's science-based. It's hard to refute the evidence, and I just want to thank you for what the University Extension does and let you know that you have my support.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, Greg, sure. I appreciate it. I know that you've been a strong supporter for us as a county board supervisor member in Jefferson County on the Extension Committee. Had many opportunities to visit with you and work with you on extension issues. You raised the critical point for us at the county level. As we were talking about the partnership, we got get to the point that, in fact, extension is a non-mandated program mm-hmm. at the county level. And as Greg indicates, this makes it discretionary in terms of funding. In many counties, the mandated programs can eat up over half, if not three quarters, of the budget. So when you have revenue shortfalls at the county level, you're really only looking at maybe 25%, maybe up to 50%, but maybe more like 25% of the budget in which you can do something. And that really puts us in a tough situation where, unfortunately, that we end up in a kind of the same ballpark as as library and parks and other kinds of what I would call important amenities. And if we were thinking about our discussion earlier, Larry, about economic development, that's all part of building that infrastructure in the community and providing a quality of life for people to want to locate in Jefferson County or any other county in the state for that matter. That's why it's awfully important for us to be able to talk about the benefits, and Greg began to articulate some of those in Jefferson County, of what we bring in terms of the work that Steve Grabo did in Jefferson County on land use. And not only that, being able to share expertise across county lines. So Steve's relatively strong in that, and maybe Dodge County has strength that they can bring to Jefferson County. We share agricultural expertise with the horticulture folks in Waukesha County in Jefferson County. So what we're trying to do is to build that expertise of those faculty at the county level to provide the kinds of services at a level that is professional, that brings the research base of the community. Greg talked about Steve Deller from the Ag and Applied Economics Department on the Madison campus as being an important person in there. I know that Steve Grabo did a little analysis last year in his office, and he indicated that they drew on the expertise of over 90 faculty members in the UW system during a course of 1 year across those four program areas. It's a tremendous resource that is available to every person in the county, and we hope that I guess we'd like to say that we'd like to be at least a indispensable part of the county government and be a strong contributor to county government, to the economic development, and to the quality of life of these counties.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You have some special initiatives that you have underway there. One is civil rights, education, and compliance. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
Well, civil rights, education, and compliance, you raise an issue. Because we have federal funding, we have requirements in terms of civil rights, in terms of reaching a people of color, people mm-hmm. of to represent the population of a county. We've tried to, with the leadership of our state staff, particularly Joanne Hens and a number of county and state faculty members around the state, to look at that as not a requirement, but as an opportunity to program to reach the needs of the county. And whether we're talking about the Hmong population or we're talking about Latino populations or African-American populations in urban areas throughout the state, that we're trying to develop programs that actually create educational opportunity for the population. We believe that we serve all people mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, and some of these initiatives have been put in place because there are needs specific to people who immigrate into the state, who are contributing members. Yep. And remember, they're contributing members many times to our society in terms of jobs and taxes paid and contributing to local economies in a very important way. I know our dairy community really feels strongly about that, mm-hmm. for example. And how can we provide programming to the Hmong community and after-school programs or Hmong communities with respect to direct marketing, because there's a lot of local foods, kinds of farms among the Hmong community, Latino communities that many times have members of families up here who are part of agricultural or horticultural operations, and being able to work with in partnership in the city of Milwaukee in terms of looking at issues involving African Americans and education success rates. How can we partner with the local schools, the UW-Milwaukee, the technical colleges to develop and ways to work with our two-year colleges to advance people into education, to move them towards different degrees. So there's a variety of ways that we're trying to do this. We like to see this as opportunities. And the compliance is a requirement we have. We're trying to change that into, if you will, celebrations of reaching mm-hmm. People of color and people who have been disempowered over time to provide educational programming for them.
Let's go to Phil in Eau Claire. Philip, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I just wanted to pretty much agree with everything that the caller before this one said, mm-hmm. except for one thing, and he was talking about the danger of your extension programs falling into the class of important amenities like libraries. And I just want to say that I think that having been a library board member up here for the Indian Head Federated Library System for many years and professionally holding librarian degrees, that I think libraries are as essential as the rest of it. And I think we have a danger of having our whole quality of life thought as being something other than essential with these budget cuts and such. So that would be the only issue to say that I believe that libraries and library funding is also a necessity and mm-hmm. creates a great climate for business development with its information professionals.
And I don't think you would disagree with that.
Oh, not at all. I think the problem we get into, Phil, and I appreciate your call because that's the challenge we get into philosophically in counties, where there increasingly are counties out there, which, you know, for good reason, believe that the major role and responsibility of county government is to provide for safety, provide for highways, to provide basic infrastructure services. And you raise a very good point of that and amenities may not be the right word because they're really better than that, whether we're talking libraries or parks or education, is being able to build the infrastructure for a community that's attractive for businesses, for people to locate in. And I appreciate it very much. What we're always very worried about in our annual budget conversations at the county level is the danger of pitting one against another.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of partnerships in counties with agencies, both mandated and not, because it's important for us to be able to tell the bigger picture of how important these services are that are provided at the county level.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Phil. I want to make sure that we have that straight, and I'm glad you called. Ron in Trempealeau, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Ron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure how to put this question, but I'm real interested in what services might be available to a group of local citizens in our county who are trying to do some research on the economic and health impacts of wind turbine development in our county. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a lot of facts being tossed around by lobbying agencies for the turbines and by the developers themselves. And I'm wondering if there's any opportunities for us to within the extension system to do some research on some of these things, particularly into the mandates by the state that the county pretty much cannot do anything about the developers wanting to come into this county. We no longer our county no longer is able to consider the welfare of its residents, only the health and safety in regulating wind turbines in our state. Are there some resources that are available to people who might possibly be interested in some information that might not be exactly in the state's interest, at least as expressed by the state statutes on renewable energy?
Okay, we've got about 45 seconds to answer that.
All right, Ron. Ron, thanks very much. This is an issue that we've run into in other counties around the state, and it is a challenging one for us in terms of looking at energy independence, bioenergy, renewable energy sources, and wind turbines certainly do provide that. But there is a lot of resistance around the residents of counties for either, A, the imposition of sort of mandated kinds of facilities or inability to really do much about it and have input into it. I think it's important to work with, in Trempealeau County, I'd call John Zander up at the County Extension Office in Trempealeau County and begin a conversation with him. What John will be able to do then is to draw on resources around the state. And I think it's something that we've looked at in our economic or Conrad program a bit as well. We have some people on campus working on energy issues. So let's try to see how that network can address that issue and be interested in letting me know how that turns out.
Thank you very much for calling. And Rick, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll have to have you back and do this again.
Anytime.
Rick Clemmy of the UW Cooperative Extension. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.